The Peter Evans Quintet has been performing since 2009 and has played in New York as well as toured internationally, taking jazz ensembles into the 21st century. The Peter Evans Quintet uses real-time sound processing and traditional instruments to create their sound. The live electronics permit the group to change their sound from smooth and melodious to sharp and rattling to cacophonous and reverberating. The quintet draws on traditional jazz as source material and contorts them into something resembling a classical European avant-garde. What does that mean? I don't really know. That's why we have two people in the studio who will explain to us what that means. The ensemble arrived at MPAC in Troy on Tuesday to begin their MPAC recording residency, and they're performing this Friday night. Here now to share more about their work are Peter Evans and MPAC music curator Arjeo Ascani. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let us begin with you, Peter, of exactly how this quintet came to be. As I said, you've been performing since 2009. How was the group formed?
Basically, I've been playing with my own ensembles, acoustic ensembles, for a few years, and then sort of separately was doing things with live electronics, with Evan Parker, with Sam, just in duo and different combinations. And I'd never done anything that involved playing notated compositions and improvisation and live electronics all at the same time, mainly because I didn't know anybody that would really be able to sort of hang with that. And when I met Sam, it seemed to be the perfect person because he's a composer. He understands scores. He can improvise. He's handy with electronics. And we started collaborating in a lot of different, tried a lot of different ensembles. And then the group sort of slowly took form maybe over the course of about a year into its current format. But that was sort of the initial idea, sort of an experiment pretty much.
Well, I'm assuming now, but you've been a part of traditional jazz ensembles?
Yeah.
So how is this different?
Well, this group has grown into something that doesn't really always even sound like a jazz ensemble, even though the instrumentation is coming from that. I mean, our relationship to jazz at this point for the music we're playing tomorrow is pretty abstract. It does relate in that we are still drawing upon this sort of tradition of people are improvising using their own voices. It's not like I'm telling people what to play. You know, there's a sort of each composition is basically a set of rules or something that's fixed or predetermined, and then people are free to improvise their own voice within those boundaries, which isn't so different than the kind of jazz tradition. We're not really using traditional song formats or rhythms or tonalities or anything like that.
So what does that mean for an audience of what they can expect?
The audience can expect to hear tomorrow night. Really, I'd say it's primarily about the personalities of the people in the band.
Okay.
Each piece is.
I just want the audience to know that on the radio right now, you have a bit of a twinkle.
A twinkle.
Well, yeah, you have a little bit of a twinkle. A little twinkle in the eye. Well, you're putting one over.
Well, you know what? For me, the music. I'm not putting anything over anybody, but the music is very, even for me, is very unusual. And I guess what I like about this band is that it's helping me. Well, we're all kind of propelling ourselves into something new, into some new territory. Even though we played this music a little bit before. And so I still feel like that when we play this program sort of as its own thing a few times on tour. And yeah, there's something really exciting about it. And there's a lot of kind of sci-fi kind of influence in this music with the concepts behind the pieces and sort of the sounds. And so even the language we use to talk about the pieces has a kind of a science fiction element. So there's sort of some kind of space adventure element to this program.
What are rehearsals like in the sense of how much do you want to replicate that, or how much do you want to sort of build on what was done there?
Well, the fixed stuff is super fixed. Like when something's the way it's written is what's written is
what you're
is
gonna
set.
Hear.
So yeah. So rehearsing it is basically, there's a guy I know, Charlie Looker, a composer, who equated it to a bunch of guys installing a toilet. And that's basically what rehearsing. Rehearsing is really,
it's a lovely image,
making sure that we're all together on the same, in the same place at the same time, that we start together, end together, and play stuff in between. The improvising, we don't really rehearse. We practice that in the concerts in a way. We maybe talk about it for a little bit, or I might give some very loose directions. But rehearsing is mainly just screwing things in and making sure they fit. Pretty
okay.
much.
And then, but then there's also the opportunity for more improvisation.
Oh yeah, constantly. Yeah. There's always elements that are improvised.
So, Arjao, give us a sense of how you became aware of the quintet, of their work, and how they got the invitation to come to Ambac.
Sure. This one was actually pretty easy for me, in that just about everyone I know talks about the quintet all the time. You know, have you heard Peter Evans play? Have you heard the Peter Evans quintet? And so I started checking it out. Mm-hmm. And I started going to some shows. I saw about a half dozen shows, something like that. And just really sort of trying to understand all of the different facets of what they do. I was a big fan of his album, his last album for the quintet, which I think was called Ghosts. Mm-hmm. And listened to that a few hundred times and reached out to Peter and said, you know, what's next for you? And he's like, I'm thinking about recording this album. I'm like, I have a great place for you to record an album. You know, why don't we sort of make a deal here? I can help you with making an album and you can do a show. And
define recording residency. I mean, I assume that's what it sounds like.
But. Sure. The recording residencies at MPAC can take a lot of different forms. Sometimes we will just sort of provide a venue and some equipment, and then people can kind of go about it. Other times we'll provide additional support, you know, engineers or post-production and mixing and mastering, all of those different things. We really do tailor it to whatever the particular artist needs and sort of what they are able to kind of do on their own versus what they can't do on their own. But it's all about sort of enabling this music that, you know, might be sort of outside of the norm, a little bit niche, and sort of being able to get it into people's hands that otherwise financially may not be possible for people to afford doing this on their own.
Hmm. You tour all over the world.
Yes.
Okay. What? Is that a loaded question? Are audiences different? Is it a universal sound in music?
Oh, you! I remember you emailed me. It's music. I just think music is music. Well, I think it depends on what people really want out of music, and this is something. I mean, obviously, I don't. If I was trying to make music that I thought everyone would like, I wouldn't be making this music.
Yeah.
You know, but I do really believe.
I just stop you there?
Yes.
Can we explore just what you just said?
Yes.
Okay. So, meaning that not everybody has to like it.
No.
But it seems like you have some, there's some satisfaction that you have and that some people don't like it.
Not necessarily, actually. I think it's more that the music that I want to make and the music that I really love is very direct music. It's people just doing exactly what they want to do. And I just saw a concert of a piano player, this guy, Agustí Fernández, Spanish piano player.
And yep.
He's a great pianist. He's played a lot of different kinds of music. And he played a improvised solo piano piece, you know, about an hour for 35 people, you know, in New York a few months ago. And actually seeing somebody just do what they love and what they're very good at for a specific group of people in a room, in a way, it's the most accessible music you could possibly come up with. It's so specific. It's like somebody making you a meal, you know, for you personally. So that's the way I think about the music. It's super, super direct. It's not, I guess we're trying to access sort of extreme sort of emotional and psychological states that are not kind of part of regular everyday life. Like, we're trying to get to something that's special and that's maybe a little bit more intense than your average waking moment. And so that's what I want out of music. That's the stuff that I like.
Right.
Coltrane and, you know, Zanuckis, Cecil Taylor, that kind of stuff. Beethoven, you know? So that's what my idea of what music really is for me personally. I know that's not really what everybody's into. Some people just want to have it on the background or whatever.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
So do you find that is it received differently here in the United States than it would be different received than it is received in a venue in Europe?
No. I mean, the audiences are different all over the place. Like in the U.S., the nice thing is the audiences are generally younger. When we do get the opportunity to play, it's more mixed up. I mean, in New York, there's all kinds of people that show up to shows.
Yeah.
I just did a tour last May of the South and the Southeast, and it was mostly young people. A place like Germany, it's like mostly old people. Place like Poland, mostly young people. So that's one thing. It's an age thing. But the audiences are different really all over the place. That's really hard to generalize.
And they're, and I I'm sorry for using this word, but I want to say accepting, but mm-hmm. I mean, in understanding, I guess, and sort of getting what you just described mm-hmm. as what you're hoping for.
I think a lot of people want that out of the experience. I really think that.
They want to receive something directly.
Yes.
They want to be able to, hey, I'm going to be here. I just don't want to be one person in a
yes.
crowd. I want to have that interaction.
I think so, yeah. I think it's about communication and connecting with the audience.
So we were in talking to Argeo about the recording. Your goal for that has been what over the last few days?
Well, basically, we're going to do a concert tomorrow, and in the concert, we give ourselves some leniency as far as how pieces flow from one to the next, or how we even execute the pieces, or we have more wiggle room when we play concerts, just because it's more comfortable. The music actually is better in the moment; it's better. I've done a lot of live recording, and I'm not the kind of musician that when I record live, I don't treat it like the studio. I really treat it like a concert. So this is giving us the opportunity to play the stuff fairly straight for the sake of recording, so we have that, and then when we do the concert, be a little bit more loose and play for the people that are there, you know.
What does it say, Argeo, about the venue that you are able to have this kind of eclectic work and to bring different audiences in and to facilitate this type of music?
I guess I could say it's a pretty amazing place to be located on a college where, you know, we're part of the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, and to have such support from them to allow us to sort of explore art of all different kinds and that isn't necessarily about, you know, giving things that sell the most tickets or totally pack the house, but explore a concept to its complete depth and taking the time to really find something that, as Peter was saying, that you may not like, it may not be exactly the thing that is perfect for you, but it's something that afterwards you can have a conversation about it and talk about it for a long time, why you didn't like it, versus someone who really does like it. That sounds really crazy, but after a lot of our events,
well, I think you bummed Peter out.
Well, yeah, no, you'll have sort of it's really fascinating. We have such a high student attendance to the events we come. It's really kind of crazy, and you'll have these two groups of students that someone who will really be into, like, it's their favorite thing in the world, and this other person who's never heard anything like it, and they don't get it, and then you hear them like afterwards, like really getting into it, and that's an
and
amazing
that goes back
experience.
To what you were talking about before.
I mean, I've also, as far as students, I just came off the road playing some college gigs. I played in Ohio and Kentucky, and you know, I remember, you know, being when you're 18 or 19 and you hear some stuff you've never heard before, it's really exciting. And there was stuff that changed my life that I didn't even know if I liked it or not. It was just totally intense and new for me. So being able to go to colleges and play for kids that are really hungry for new, interesting stuff, and also super critical, because kids at that age are like really, they really have a sense of what they value and what they don't value, even though it's changing. So it was really fun to do that, to play some concerts. I know I played for some kids who had just never heard anything. And it's interesting being a musician, traveling musician, because, you know, you show up and you warm up, you practice, and you try to give the best concert you can give. But then the next day you leave and you go do it again for some other people. But for them, it's like, oh, this person came to my school and played this solo trumpet thing. And it was completely insane, you know. So it's actually really fun and interesting to see that reaction, to get the reaction from students like that.
Is there something about a legitimacy of, you know, you're playing MPAC and it's at RPI, and that this school would have you come, that sort of, I don't know, puts a good housekeeping seal of approval on what you're doing, that sort of makes it accepting and the saying, oh, okay, you know, that at least they've gotten this far, you know, they've reached, it's sort of a juried show in the sense that, you know, it's bringing it in, that we're bringing this level in, because, you know, if they suck, they wouldn't have them there.
Well, that's more about the place and RGO and Impact than it is about me. I mean, we're going to show up and we're going to play the best we can play, which is what we always do. We don't really change that according to the venue.
Well,
but
no,
as far
of
as the perception
of
us, yeah, maybe that could be true. I don't really know. It's not really, it's more up to the audience to figure that out, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, do you find that it sort of gives it a, you know, there's an acceptance of what you offer, and that it's you know, of a certain quality.
I would love to find that. I would love it to become known that you know, people who come through MPAC and produce things at MPAC, that it is of excellent production values. That would make me really happy.
So at the end of this experience, your time at MPAC ends when?
Tomorrow night.
Okay, so yeah. Then you're done, and then you move on and you go do other shows.
Yeah, this group actually is—I don't know—probably won't play until maybe this. Well, actually, what we're doing is the next stage for this group, which probably won't be a touring thing, is we're going to become an octet. And I'm adding Ian Antonio, who's a percussionist that's been at MPAC a lot before, Dan Peck on tuba, and Brandon Seabrook on electronics and guitar. So it's going to be an octet, and we're playing a festival in Portugal, and then also playing in New York in September. So I wrote a bunch of music for that, and then we're going to do that, and then probably scale back down to the quintet and tour this record next year, if possible. And then in the meantime, the five of us are all doing a million other things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very, very cool. Sounds like a neat life.
Yeah. Yeah. I really, really enjoy it. I mean, I need to do it in a way, so it's not really about enjoying it or not.
You need to do it.
Well, we're talking about the travel.
I'm spreading the word. RGO, I'm going to do it, damn it, whether you like it or not.
That's true. I actually do feel like that.
Yeah.
RGO was asking about the travel, you know, in the car on the way here. And it's like, sometimes it's not exactly pleasant, but it doesn't really faze me in a way.
Well, the Peter Evans Quintet will perform at MPAC in Troy this Friday night. And to learn more, you can go to mpac.rpi.edu. mpac.rpi.edu. Argeo and Peter, thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Again, the Peter Evans Quintet will perform Friday night. What time is it? 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock at MPAC. And again, more information at mpac.rpi.edu. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.